Good morning. Well, I'm excited about today. Now, it is the picnic. I've been checking the radar for this thing, I swear, probably about every 15 minutes for the last 2 days, trying to see if this rain total is going to go down. And I guess it worked. I don't know. You got any picnic prayer warriors out here that have been out for us? Okay, thank you very much. I'm excited about that. But you know what else I'm excited about? Today is my son Noble's third birthday. So that was fun, especially when my wife made cinnamon rolls for breakfast. That's especially exciting whenever I can get that. Well, today is the last sermon in our Money Matters series. And in some ways, it's the culmination of everything that we have been talking about thus far. When we think back on the last 3 weeks, we had these B principles, if you'll remember. We had be content, be generous, and be trusting. And what we want to talk about today is something that's going to bring it all together. Because as helpful as those three things are, there's a really important piece of the puzzle that's still missing. And without it, we could have all of those other things down perfectly, and we'd still miss the boat. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you wanted to try to win a golf game when you think that the purpose of golf is to hit the ball in the water. That's not the purpose, by the way, those of you who don't golf. You're not supposed to get it in the water. But you say, but I have the best shoes. They were really expensive. They're really comfortable. I have the most sophisticated clubs on the market. I have an exquisite swing. It is smooth and it is perfect. But guess what? That doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters if you have your entire target wrong. And that's how it is when it comes to our money and our possessions. Because we could be solid in our contentment. We could be solid in our generosity and in our trusting the Lord to provide for us as we give back to Him. We could be solid in all of those things. And we could still miss the mark if in the big picture we are aiming for the wrong target. So what's the right target? It's our final B principle for the series, and it's this. Be eternity minded. Be eternity minded. As we spend our money, as we think about accumulating possessions, our challenge is to do so with eternity in mind. We find this in our passage for this morning, which is in Matthew chapter 6. If you want to go ahead and be turning there with me. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to be starting in verse 19, which is right in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7. And what I want to do first is start with just the two commands that Jesus gives in verses 19 and 20. It's going to be up on the screen for you to follow along. Just the commands in 19 and 20, and then we're going to add to it from there. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Our hearts are easily drawn to the treasures of this life, aren't they? I'm not just talking about money and fancy cars and expensive homes. Sure, I mean, that's part of it. But for a lot of us, we know those things aren't really within our reach. So perhaps for us, our earthly treasure that we're tempted to run after, maybe it's a little bit less extravagant. Maybe it's power in this life. Maybe it's recognition in this life. Perhaps it's comfort and stability in this life. It's any number of things that society says that is what your focus should be on in this life. It's what they put a premium on to say this is what life is all about. And we are tempted to put that as our greatest treasure. And it's hard to avoid, isn't it? Because everywhere we look, we're bombarded with that same message that all that matters is the here and now. That what we need to do, we need to make a name for ourselves now while we can. That we need to get as much money and wealth and possessions as we can now while we're here. That we need to gain as much significance as we can in this life now before the opportunity is gone. And yet, as we've already seen in the little snippet of the text, Jesus calls us to take an entirely different approach to treasure. That instead of focusing just what we can rack up here on this earth, that we're called to have a bigger picture, eternity-minded perspective. But the question is, what does that mean? I mean, we talk about this idea of eternal impact or eternity. We talk about that all the time as if it's so obvious, but I don't know that it really is. What does it look like to be eternity-minded with what we treasure? Jesus has commanded us to have this mindset. Clearly, it's something that's important. This attitude, this purpose for our lives. So what does it look like? Answering that is our goal for this morning through Matthew chapter 6. And as we do that, two principles are going to emerge for us from the text. Two keys to being eternity-minded with what we treasure. And the first is back in verses 19 through 20. Let's go back there, only this time we're going to read all of those two verses. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moss nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. The first key we see here to being eternity-minded with what we treasure is that we invest in lasting impact. We invest in lasting impact. You know, there's a lot of things in this life that we can do. There's a lot of treasure that we can seek after that we think is lasting. But, you know, the reality is that anything that we could go after that is earthly treasure, there's no guarantee that it's going to be around, that it's going to last any length of time. I mean, now Jesus' original audience, they would know this really well. When you look at the illustrations that Jesus uses, at that time, only the really rich are going to be able to protect their clothes from the bugs. I mean, that's just how it worked. You were going to have your favorite shirt eaten by bugs. That's just how it worked in that time. And they didn't have the kind of banks and security that we have today. So when you consider that most people are going to store their valuables either in some kind of box in their home, or perhaps even just bury it in the dirt floor of their home, it's not exactly robber-proof storage. They understood this very well, this concept that the things of this earth, nothing is guaranteed. But we understand it too, don't we? I mean, every time I go out to my car in the morning, I am fully prepared that I could have a window smashed out, that I could have stuff missing from my car, that some natural disaster, that some fire could damage our home. But even think about our money. Okay, I know this is 2017. We think that things are pretty secure now, that we've made a lot of technological advances compared to 2,000 years ago. And yet, what's kind of scary is, if we go to the wrong coffee shop, it's entirely possible that some crazy hacker with a computer 10 feet away could empty out our bank account. That's just the reality of today. Nothing in this life that we could seek after on this earth is guaranteed. Well, so now you think, okay, well, those are really temporary things. I mean, we get that. What about the things that are really lasting, that could make an impact for a long time on this earth? Well, let's think about it. How about something that you get named after you? You think that would be something? Oh, now that would be long-lasting impact. What an honor. Do you know what Baylor University, Rice University, and Stanford University have in common? They're named after people that most of the world has forgotten. Do you have any idea who they are? I mean, Stanford's real name is Leland Stanford Junior University. Does anybody call it Leland Stanford Junior University? Nope. You think, oh, well, you've got street names and city names and even some states are named after people. That's lasting impact. Who's Georgia named after? How about Maryland? Louisiana? Any ideas? Maybe some of you are better at history than I am, but I have a feeling that most people have no idea who those are named after. And so you think even the things that seem to be such an honor, the things that we say, oh, if we could pursue that in this life, oh, that would be the kind of lasting impact that we would want. This kind of lasting significance in our earthly treasure. Even that's not guaranteed. I mean, I don't want to sound overly depressing, but the reality is that in time, even the most famous and most significant of people in this life will be forgotten by someone. And in many cases, they're going to be forgotten by many people. So if that's true of them, no offense, but what does that say about you and me and what we want to try to make for ourselves of significance purely in this life? So if that's true, that all of these things that we think could bring a significance seem so fleeting, why are we so focused on chasing after them in this life? Why is that our focus? Now, don't get me wrong, or what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying that we cannot have things like money or possessions. That's not his point. His point is that the pursuit of these things should not be the driving force of our life. We should not find our significance in what we can get for ourselves in this life, because it doesn't last. Instead, we're called to invest our lives in heavenly treasure that can never be destroyed, that can never be stolen. And you think, well, what is that? What does that even mean? Well, in some ways, what Vic and Cindy shared today, that's heavenly treasure. I've been there with them. I see what they do over there. And this is not to prop them up. They probably don't even want me doing this right now. But I've seen what they do. They invest their summer. They could be doing a whole lot of other things in the summer. Okay? As both of them educators, I know they don't have a whole lot of free time. And the summer is their chance. And they're spending it halfway across the world investing in the lives of those people who are then going to go out and invest in the lives of others who are going to go out and invest in the lives of others and so on and so on and so on. That's seeking heavenly treasure that makes an eternal impact. Now you say, well, I can't do that. Well, it's not just that. I mean, you think about all of you prayer warriors out there, day after day, faithfully lifting up the saints before the Lord. That's making deposits of heavenly treasure. All the times that you have shared the gospel with others, the hours you spent discipling others, helping them grow up in the faith, the hours that you've spent serving the Lord through Centerpoint and other ministries, moms, the tireless patience that you have to day after day point your kids to Christ. That's all heavenly treasure. And for those of you who have already spent your lives modeling this kind of heavenly treasure seeking mindset, first of all, thank you. Because you are a guide for the rest of us, a model for us to follow after as you seek to follow what Christ has said. And can I encourage you? Finish well. Purpose that whatever time you have left, that you are going to continue to make it count for the Lord. Because for all of us, the only treasure that is 100% guaranteed to last is what we invest in eternity, in heavenly treasure. And in that heavenly treasure, that impact, that's not just going to be felt perhaps in this life. It's not going to be felt maybe just a little bit beyond when we're gone. No. The impact of that will in fact ripple throughout eternity. Being eternity-minded with what we treasure means we invest in lasting impact. The second key then is found in verse 21, and it's this. We invest in what points our hearts toward eternity. In what points our hearts toward eternity. Look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know what's interesting about that verse? Does it seem a little backwards to you of what we normally think? Because I don't know about you, but I normally think about getting my heart right first, and then the actions and the follow-up, that's going to follow. And that's certainly true. It does work that way, but that doesn't seem to be Jesus' emphasis here. It seems that he is emphasizing that what we invest our time in, what we set our mind on, that is what influences what we set our heart's course on. So it works like this. If the treasures of this life are our guide, then our passions and affections are going to be for the things of this life, and vice versa. John Stott talks about the things that tether our hearts to the earth. It's really hard to be eternity-minded, to have that big picture eternity view of what God is doing and that kind of treasure. It's really hard to have that mindset when our hearts are chained to this earth by those treasures. Of course, Jesus' words here assume that we actually know what our treasure is. Do you? I mean, what drives your life? What motivates your decisions? What controls your priorities? Are there things that you feel like you could never imagine giving up, even though you know that doing so would allow you to better invest in what is eternal? When you look at your day and how you spend your time, what do you hold on to most tightly? I came across a story of a missionary couple this week. They were newlyweds who knew that, well, I should say they were going to get married, and they knew that they were going to be moving to South America to serve the Lord there as missionaries. And so even in the process of getting their wedding ready, they knew that they could not ask for lots and lots of fancy things, or really lots of things in general, because they couldn't take it with them. So they didn't really register for much, and the wife, who was the one who was sharing her story, had talked about how they got everything they owned in 20 little plastic bins and sent it on down to Colombia, where they would be. And as they got settled in there and started serving, she became discouraged because she kept finding that even though they didn't bring much and there was not a whole lot of value to them, what little they did have of value kept breaking. It was little things here and there. You know, they would knock something over as they were moving around because they didn't have much space. Or, you know, their guests would be over for ministry and they would spill something on their couch, or they would knock over something valuable. And she was lamenting the fact that those things couldn't be replaced. I mean, for one thing, some of them were wedding gifts. Those had a lot of memories attached to them. You can't replace that. But beyond that, even some other things that maybe could be easily replaced here in the States, she couldn't find those things in Colombia. And she finally, one day, was getting ready for church, and she said she knocked over two figurines that she had had since she was a child. And she watched them fall off the table, and they smashed into 1,000 pieces. And she said she just broke down and wept. Because she thought, God, I have given up so much for you. How is it that all of these things keep breaking? Why is it that all of these people that seem to be coming into our lives can't stop breaking our stuff? She didn't understand. You see, she realized in that moment that what she treasured most was her things. Little as they may be. And her love of those things, she discovered, was directing her heart toward her stuff and away from the people that God had called her to serve with her husband. Here's what she wrote about how God changed her perspective. She said those things were wood, hay, stubble, which would all burn someday. And God was trying to show me the eternal. When I lifted my view from my precious things, I realized that each time something had broken, there were people involved. People with precious, eternal souls. I saw in the darkness of my own heart that I had resented people coming for Bible studies because they inevitably broke things, spilled drinks on my couch, and dirtied my apartment. But by examining that darkness, Jesus lifted my chin and showed me that people are always more important than things. Always. Now I hold my things a lot more loosely. And if God needs to break more things in my life so that more people hear the gospel, I am ready. Are you ready? When God reveals to you what you treasure most on this earth, so much that it takes your focus from eternity, are you willing to give that up so that your heart can be better pointed to God and His purposes? Because as long as our greatest treasure is here on this earth, that's where our hearts are always going to find their greatest satisfaction. Instead, let us make sure to choose our treasure wisely so that our hearts would be tuned not to this life, but to eternity. Being eternity-minded with what we treasure means we invest in lasting impact. And we invest in what points our hearts to eternity. One of the questions we might have at this point, though, is can't we do all of that stuff you just talked about and everything else we want to do in this life? I mean, why does it have to be either or? Why can't it just be both and? Why not enjoy the treasures of this life, seek after all we can get while we're here, while also pitching in a few treasures in heaven now and then? Because so far I've made it seem like it's a choice between treasures on earth and treasures in heaven. Does it really have to be that way? Well, Jesus gives us the answer at the end of this passage. Look at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, you see, we like to think that this whole business of treasure on earth and heaven, we like to think that it works more like having two jobs. So when we first moved here to Dallas, there was a period where I worked at a retail store on Saturdays, and I worked a different job during the week. And never the two shall meet. It was a perfectly great arrangement. I could go on the weekend and do that job. I could come in the rest of the week and do my other job. And they never interfered with each other. Everything was perfectly smoothly. It was great. And we'd love to treat treasure on earth and treasure in heaven that way. You know, they can each get their own compartment of their lives. So, you know, we can have our earthly treasure over here and we can have our heavenly treasure over here. And that's perfectly fine. They can exist in harmony together for the rest of our lives. But the point of Jesus's illustration is that's not how it works. Sure, it's possible to be wholly devoted to earthly treasure. And it's possible to be wholly devoted to heavenly treasure. But it is not possible to be wholly devoted to both at the same time. Because what happens when both of them are demanding your attention at the same time? What do you have to do? Well, you got to make a choice. And when you pick a winner, you find out what you're really devoted to. And part of Jesus' point is that anything short of wholehearted devotion to what is eternal, to what is the Lord's, that's not really devotion at all. So we're either all in with earthly treasure or we're all in with heavenly treasure. But we can't have it both ways. That's just not how it works. You know, there are a lot of things that Satan can use to derail Christians who are trying to live faithfully for the Lord. But I think there are a few tactics as effective as trying to make us think that we can have our best life now while still remaining fully devoted to the Lord and His eternal purposes. And I've seen firsthand how tragic it is when Christians come to the point where they realize that they have to make a choice between the earthly treasure that they want to make their life's focus and the heavenly treasure that they have tried to make their life's focus. And they come to a point where they realize that they cannot do both. They have to make a choice. And let me tell you how tragic it is when they choose the things of this life. And slowly but surely, treasure in heaven becomes less and less and less important. Friends, that could happen to any one of us. Because our hearts are fickle. Every single one of us is so easily drawn to the things of this world that constantly pull at us and want our focus and our attention. But friends, our calling is clear from our Lord. We have the opportunity to spend our lives accumulating eternity-minded treasure. It's treasure that makes a lasting impact far beyond what we can do in this life. And it's treasure that points our hearts to eternity and our Lord. As we have the opportunity now to take the Lord's Supper, I think this is a good opportunity for us all to reflect and ask ourselves very seriously and transparently. What do we treasure? What is it in our life that guides our focus and our priorities, our money, our resources? Which is our master in this life? And if the answer is not as Jesus has described, what are we going to do about it? I would encourage us all to, as we pass the bread and later as we pass the cup, to just spend some moments in prayer and just ask the Lord, where is it in our lives that we are demonstrating that the treasures of this earth are more important to us than treasure in heaven? And may God give us the grace to respond and pursue the kind of eternity-minded treasure hoarding that Jesus calls for. I know this is an oft-repeated quote, but it's one of my favorites, and I think it is a great reminder for us this morning. I'm sure many of you have heard this. That only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Let's pray for the bread. Father, we do ask that in the quiet of our hearts now, that you would challenge us to take a very hard look at what our actions, our priorities, the way we spend our money, what that reveals about where our treasure really is. And I pray that you would give us the grace to purpose in our hearts that storing up treasure in heaven will be our life's aim. That if that means that we give up some of the comforts that we enjoy in this life, that we give up some of the extra money that we enjoy in this life, some of the recognition that we enjoy, the power, that if that's what it takes to invest in eternity-minded treasure, that you would give us the grace to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.